Hey, we're back on Downtown. It's Tuesday afternoon, and it means it's time for us to talk basketball. To do that, we welcome in John Corrales from the Locked On Celtics podcast and Boston Sports Journal as we enjoy, a little NBA quiet time for a while, John.
Yeah, a little bit of downtime. Finally, this is like a few weeks of not much happening. A lot of theoretical NBA discussion happening around you know, in my line of work, in the podcast work, you still got to pump out content, but not much is happening.
Well, let's talk about some of the things that are being discussed out there. One of them is the Celtics ownership situation with this story that popped up in the last few days regarding the possibility of them becoming the Amazon Celtics. Do you put much stock in that?
Look, in today's NBA with, potential $6 billion price tag, you always have to consider the richest people in the world making a bid. So I would not be surprised if there's something to Jeff Bezos having an interest, because it's a new venture. It would be a new thing. It would be a new opportunity for him to make a statement, whatever he feels like he wants to do for his own ego. That I'm not discounting it at all. I do think that there is a preferred succession plan, but money is money. And if Jeff Bezos walks in and makes an offer that's kind of, more than any other scenario, then yeah. But the downside to a potential Bezos purchase is the Celtics don't own their building. There's no obvious place to build something in Boston. It's very difficult to build something like this in Boston. We've seen the Kraft family have real struggles throughout the course of their ownership of the Patriots to get something done for the football team in Boston, to get something done for the Revolution in Boston. So if somebody with a track record like the Krafts can't get it done, I know Bezos comes in with a ton of money, but there's got to be a little bit of pause there for him to say, yeah, this would be great owning a marquee franchise, but can I build my own building to really start to make some money off of non-basketball events? That's where the money is made. So I'm sure there's some interest, but I don't know how much there really is.
Well, and along those same lines, there's been discussion about the potential for a basketball-only arena, but boy, I don't see a lot of vacant land sitting around in Boston proper.
No, it would be extraordinarily difficult, and there are different municipalities involved. There is some land over in the Everett, Chelsea area along the Mystic River that can be repurposed. There are places that are kind of sitting empty, but it's a lot of work. It's a lot of environmental work. There are a lot of clearances that need to happen. There is some level of potential eminent domain, which is always kind of like a third rail issue that you just don't want to go down that road as a politician, just taking people's land away. And that's something the Red Sox ownership has faced in the past. So I don't see a ton of opportunity around Boston proper within 5 miles of Boston. The opportunities lie maybe a little further out. And if that were the case, you're taking away from what the Celtics have historically been. You're taking away a lot of the accessibility for what the Celtics have offered, being where they are in Boston. It's a very difficult road. There are potential sites for sure, but it is also extraordinarily difficult to get done.
Well, and, when you think about, I think any sport other than football, because of the nature of the game, where they play only 1 week, maybe it's not such a big deal, but basketball, hockey, baseball, you think of those teams being right there in the city, accessible either on foot or through public transportation.
Yeah, that's the other part, the public transportation part. And that's a big deal, because when you go further out of the city, you start to run into accusations of limiting who can go to these games, at least if you offer a fairly reasonable balcony seat and public transportation to get to the arena, then people in a lower income bracket still have access to live sporting events, which is important. You want to make sure that everybody has some level of access, and it's not just people with means or sponsors. And when you go into some of these sites that I'm talking about, it's not easy to get there. You know, we're talking about the Encore kind of casino area, and that, and there's no train that goes there. You're talking about buses. You're talking about a big state commitment to enhance public transportation, and that puts a strain on the budget. So what does the new owner have to say about contributing to getting accessibility to people going to these events? So that just adds another layer that makes it much more likely that the Celtics stay where they are.
We're talking with John Corrales here on Downtown. Well, let's talk about the team itself. One roster spot left. How do you see them filling that, John?
I don't see them filling that unless there is a player that suddenly becomes available that you just have to have. I see them keeping that spot open because they're bringing back their entire team for the most part. I don't think anybody's going to really miss Shea Mikhaylik and O'Shea Brissett. They're running the whole thing back. They know how to win. It's been proven. There's no need to fill a 15th spot with any sort of emergency or flyer player, because those aren't the types of guys. They're not going to get any run. They're not going to get any minutes. So considering the Celtics' financial situation, where filling that roster is more than a minimum contract, it's taxes, it's, you know, all the other stuff combined, I expect them to keep that spot open. If there is a potential down the road, you always have to keep open an unforeseen trade where maybe something that worked last year didn't, you know, doesn't this upcoming season, and you have to move somebody that, and maybe that's a one for two type of deal. And whoever that might be, you do have to have some flexibility, where if you bring somebody back and you turn one player into two kind of role players, even though that is extraordinarily unlikely, you have to keep all these contingency plans kind of open. So keeping that spot unoccupied, not only is a financial savings, but it is part of a just-in-case, you know, break glass of emergency type of deal.
John, we've talked with you about the idea of Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum using the Olympic experience to fuel them for the coming year. But you wrote about it, I thought, very smartly on Boston Sports Journal. The revenge tour can't be just about that, and it can't be just about Brown and Tatum, because then that can take in some directions you don't want to go in the coming year.
Yeah, we've seen that before, right? I mean, everybody loves a good revenge story. Some of the best movies out there are revenge movies. And we love the idea of someone has been wronged and they turn around and they exact their revenge and then some. You know, it's a nice feeling to see that, because it's a feeling of justice. And when Tatum and Brown have been done wrong in the eyes of many by USA Basketball, you know, Steve Kerr is an obvious target. The Golden State Warriors are an obvious target. Any game Grant Hill might be calling for TNT becomes an obvious target. But we've seen Tatum and Brown try to do too much, and that's been the game plan in the past, to try to lure them into one-on-one battles to get them to forget their teammates. And that's when they lost to the Warriors in the finals. That's when they got themselves into trouble against Miami and in that playoff run a couple of seasons ago. They won this past season because Tatum and Brown both evolved to make plays, make passes to other teammates and open them up so they can do what they do best. So the Celtics' best chance of revenge, Tatum and Brown's best chance of revenge, is winning another championship. Being like, hey, you guys don't want to play us, that's fine. We're just going to keep dominating the NBA. So it's not about individual forays into, hey, I'm going to let's combine for 90 points against the Warriors. If they do that's fine. But if it has to be within the system, it has to be within the construct of Celtics basketball. And the best revenge is winning again, and that should be where they're focused. They should be motivated to win again. That's where that, you know, the result of all of this should be. But they can't take it that extra step of it's me against you.
John Corrales, Boston Sports Journal, Locked On Celtics podcast. John, appreciate it as always. Have a great week, and we will check in with you again next Tuesday.
All right. Thanks a lot.